enjoy the ride. Yeah.
And now more Operation Freedom. Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our ancillary bunker with links back to our main Freedom Bunker, manned by my boss and the brilliant Derek Stone. Without Derek, this broadcast would not be occurring. Why? Because, well, you experienced a little bit of it last week with the deep state. They took a shot at us to try to shut us down right when the show began. And Derek was able to pull off that broadcast last week and every week. They have made a concerted effort over the past 5-6 weeks to make sure that you didn't get the information that we provide, information that the bought-off lamestream fake media will not touch. Speaking about information the bought-off lamestream fake media won't touch, my next guest, Sarah Westall, is brilliant and incredibly courageous and brings information forward that the deep state despises. A little background on Sarah. Sarah is a successful entrepreneur and business executive. In the past 25 years, she has created and developed multiple companies, including a successful management and consulting firm and an international import and manufacturing company. Sarah has a computer science and business management systems degree from the College of Science and Engineering at the University of Minnesota, with an emphasis in management information systems from the Carlson Business School, also at the University of Minnesota. Sarah started her career at the center of the internet revolution at US West Communications, where she was promoted multiple times to eventually become director of the Advanced Networking Group, responsible for all the systems design and development of Enterprise, the internet and networking arm of US West. Currently, Sarah is a partner at Galax Consulting. In addition, she hosts a national radio show, Business Game Changers. I've been honored to be a guest on her platform. Her national radio show features leaders in business, government, society, and science. Her significant experience and knowledge in technology, systems engineering, business, entrepreneurship provides insight and depth unparalleled in the media. I encourage you. She has a great channel on YouTube, just Sarah Westall, W-E-S-T-A-L-L. She also has a website, sarahwestall.com. Sarah, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Thank you so much, Dave.
So, Sarah, I played so far a couple times today a clip of Joe Biden. As you know, there was, I want to start out with the military issues. There was this fraudulent Atlantic magazine article about President Trump reportedly derogatorily saying things about World War I veterans and those who had died. And in fact, all the people that were in the room when he supposedly said that, including people that don't like him, including John Bolton, came out later and said he never said that. And this author, who was linked to Obama and the Clintons, will not produce any source that supposedly said this. I want to play for you a clip and have your take. Joe Biden, in the recent past, was addressing active duty military. And he was giving a speech, and they weren't responding to him that he would have liked. They weren't clapping enough. And, well, he said some things, and I want, this is the guy who's now been going around screaming about President Trump making these derogatory comments, when in fact he never did make derogatory comments about World War I veterans and those passed in World War I. Yet Biden keeps spewing this garbage. Yet here's the garbage Biden spewed to these active duty military. Derek, hit it.
I have incredibly good judgment. One, I married Jill. And two, I appointed Johnson to the academy. I just want you to know that. Just clap for that, you stupid bastards.
Clap for that, you stupid bastards, Sarah.
It doesn't matter what he does, right? I mean, these people are going to support him no matter what, because he is supporting their agenda. And he's a puppet for other people, essentially. He'll do what they want. There was a group of neocons, if you will, or deep staters in the Wall Street Journal that took out a big ad that were always, most of them were always Republican, that now are saying they're going to support Biden. So the question is, why? You know, I tweeted that out when it came out and I said, why Democrats? Doesn't that make you pause and think of why these people are actually supporting Biden now? Instead of them going, hey, nobody likes Trump. Look at it differently. Why are they supporting him? And it's because Trump is trying to bring peace, and he hasn't escalated wars. He's been pulling troops out. Yeah, he's having a problem getting some of these things to de-escalate, but he hasn't created new ones, and he hasn't escalated. They don't like that. These peace deals, he was nominated twice for the
Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes. And they don't like that either. That was nowhere. There were crickets over that. So that's why. I think it's pretty clear why, because it's the deep state. It's the military industrial complex, if you will. The name that you can call them many different things. But in this case, it's a group of people that will make less money, will have less power if Donald Trump gets his way.
And in fact, General Paul Vallely and General Tom McInerney have come on our platform. And I know, Ian, we'll talk about your interview that you did with General Black. But they've come on my platform and spoken just exactly what you said. That and that in fact, there were 235 retired generals and admirals who came out in support of President Trump recently.
Yes.
Two of which were General McInerney and General Vallely. And they both have spoken about the fact that the people that have come out in favor of Joe Biden are the same generals and admirals that were responsible for thousands of those dying military personnel dying in these endless wars, and that the folks that are supporting Biden are the war hawks, beyond war hawks, the warmongers in the Pentagon and in the military, as opposed to a second group of which these fellows are associated with, that are, yeah, we have, you know, peace through strength, and you have to have a strong military, but let's focus on negotiating for peace with our strength.
We're not thugs. We don't want to be strong and then go around and brutalize people. That's not what we're about. We're mature, peaceful people that want peace, and we're going to use our strength to bring peace and harmony on this planet, if at all possible. Well, if you dig into some of those backgrounds of those nifty characters that put that stuff out, LaRoche-Pack did an amazing investigation where more than 300 former top military people who are included in that group are on the payrolls of lobbyists and board members of corporate officials of independent private defense contractors and related companies. I would say to you, if you look deep at who was on those ads and those letters that came out and are the ones the most vocal, who's paying them? And, you know, the LaRoche-Pack found that 300 of those guys were being paid, over 300.
Well, let's just take one. Former Secretary of Defense, General Mattis, when he was forced to retire from the Marine Corps under the Obama administration, and prior to his being named Secretary of Defense, he joined the board of General Dynamics, mm-hmm. where he's paid over $1 million in salary and benefits. Then he comes back to public life as the Secretary of Defense and pushing all kinds of engagements that President Trump would not pursue in Afghanistan, Syria, Africa, to the point where Mattis was pushed to leave. Well, where does Mattis go back to? He goes back to General Dynamics,
which is one of the largest military contractors on the planet. Right. Or they not just contractors, they do all sorts of things, but with the military. But he's been quoted as saying some pretty inflammatory things. We can unite without Trump, suggesting a overhaul. You know, they are in pretty serious situation because Article 88 of the Uniform Code of the Military Justice says that they, you know, they're in violation of this because they cannot say things against a sitting president as a former military officer. And they put out a letter to, I believe it was a New York Post, and they actually pulled it down. And it looks like it was scrubbed because the information that they put on there, I haven't read it, but what I'm told is that it was inflammatory and it violates Article 88, and they could be found guilty of that, and it's very serious.
Well, in fact, General Valley put out a position statement on it, and in it he said, based on that, what was put in the New York Times, that they could be brought back to active duty, the retired generals and admirals that signed on to that because it did violate the code that you mentioned, and they could be brought back into active duty, and they could be court-martialed.
Yep, absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, the document vanishes from the New York Times.
So it was the New York Times probably. I thought it was the New York Post, but yeah,
It was New York Post. I'm sorry.
And I wasn't sure. So yeah, that's exactly the point. But all these comments that they're making on live television, there's enough proof out there. It's pretty, this has been percolating for a while. Defense One, which is a website in defensive, they cover the defense industry. Lauren Powell Jobs is owner of it. It's owned by Atlantic Media, and it's owned by Lauren Powell Jobs, and she's a key financial angel supporter of Kamala Harris. And this has been percolating for a while because they published an article on August 18th. When was it? It was 2 years ago. Okay, I don't know the exact date. And they were saying that it was published by Thomas Crosby, and it was titled Six Scenarios for Military Invention After January 20th. And they discussed six implausible scenarios. But in it, he said, it's scenarios for doing a coup against the president, a military coup. And then they actually said this: coups are nasty things, and discussing them in the American context is deeply distasteful. Nevertheless, facing these scenarios may help us understand the real dynamics general and flag officers we force to navigate in the coming months. They're saying this is going to happen. And they said sometimes it's good for a democracy to do a coup.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. And I think I interviewed Colonel Richard Black. He's an amazing man.
Yeah, educate listeners on that interview because it was phenomenal.
Everybody should listen to him because he was the former chief at the Pentagon for the Criminal Law Division. He was a JAG officer. He's a war hero. He was a senator in Virginia. This man's amazing, and he's not afraid to come out with what's right. And he's the one that's been talking about this insurrection the military coup that's been going on. And he's quite worried because they are talking about, the letters that they're doing, the ads that they're putting out. He's talking about they're coming out in groups to bash Trump. Like when they cleared that opening for Trump to walk across that park so that he could stand in front of the church that they just torched, they had to clear out the protesters. Well, they all got upset because these protesters are peaceful, and that he was being, we all know there's over 300 Antifa thugs that have been arrested at this point. There should be a lot more. We know these aren't peaceful. I live in the Minneapolis area. You should come in here and watch. It looks like a bombed out war zone. This wasn't a peaceful protesters, and this is what they're actually saying. And the thing is that they're saying that after January 20th, does that mean, because they're trying to create that chaos, as you know. And I want to say before I move on to some of the other comments that I wanted to say is that in this interview that I did with Colonel Black, he names names. He says specifics. It's with Harley Schlinger too, where he talks about the investigation into the lobbyists and the board members and things. But these guys, they want to shut off our communications. They even go as far in thinking about how to do this coup as how to take over New York and Los Angeles, and what they're actually going to do. It's serious, and I think that's why they're trying to create so much chaos in this election.
Now let's talk a little bit more about the election, because a big issue that's coming to the forefront, has been in the forefront, getting more to the forefront every day, is ballot fraud, election fraud. Educate our listeners on what you've uncovered on that.
Oh my gosh. There's a great article that was put into the New York Post. They interviewed a whistleblower, And, you know, and I've been doing more research as well, but this whistleblower, it doesn't even matter if it's a real whistleblower or not, because the analysis of what he came up with is absolutely right on how you can cheat in this election. And what I wanted to tell you, whistleblower claims that he's worked on every, you know, all sorts of races from the bottom to the top. He says the smaller races are easier to do. It makes sense. This is common sense, what he's saying. It's like, yeah, they can do all this stuff. They can do phony ballots. They say that envelopes are harder to duplicate, but they can go get them. Then go. They were going door to door. They get go to door to door. Say they'll mail in their ballots, and then they get the ballot out of there by, you know, putting it in their steam, and then they just put in a new ballot because the ballot's really easy to duplicate. Right. They say that there's inside jobs. He actually listed all these ways that you could do it. And it all makes sense here. Inside jobs. You can have a male person who really despises Trump. And in a community where you know there's going to be a lot of Republicans, those are the ballots that are found in ditches and dumpsters that we're hearing about. Right. That's happening.
Well, in fact, in Wisconsin, right, there were three trays of mail ballots found in a river, correct?
Yeah, and they found them in dumpsters. They found them in ditches. They've been finding these things. There's been 500 in, I can't remember what ditch they found it. I thought it was New Jersey. But this has been found. And it's because they kind of got lazy. They could have found a better way to dispose of them than put it in some ditch that later on people are going to find. But nonetheless, they're finding some of this. So think about how rampant it probably is, because not everybody's going to be dumb and put it in a place that everybody could find it. But he went on to say nursing homes. He says nursing homes are a gold mine, because you go into these nursing homes and often the nurse is a paid operative, and you just go room to room and you help them, tell them you're going to help them vote. And they feel like they're doing a good thing, you know, the older people, and they nonetheless, they get a ton of them. And the ones that aren't Trump, they get rid of. Voter impersonation, we've all heard about that. They look for people, well-documented people, who regularly routinely skip presidential elections, and then they go impersonate them. And because they're not always there. Now, if they happen to find somebody who they, you know, they know this person, then they say it's a mistake and they run out of there. But in general, they don't know those persons either. And then bribing voters. He says the homeless shelters are incredibly, you know, it's a gold mine as well. And there is he was laughing. He said that Mike Bloomberg, that's how he won his mayor, his third mayor term, because he paid $174 per vote with homeless shelters. And that he was laughing because they way overpaid, because he could get 70% less and do it for them. But it does make sense. You could go to these homeless shelters and help people vote. And if you pay them, they'll vote for who you want. It's incredible. This all makes sense. And he says the way the organization works is it's like a mafia organization. The boss, who's usually a campaign manager, they do day-to-day managing the soldiers, you know, who are under them, and then they go out and do what they need to do. And then they don't let the candidate doesn't know what's going on so that they can have plausible deniability.
So, Sarah, what do we do to combat this?
You don't do this process. I mean, that's what Trump has been saying. Mail-in ballots is a invitation for fraud, because there's no control to this process. You have to have control to the process, and they don't have any. I don't know. That's why they're doing it. What do you think? I mean, you know.
Well, a couple things. You know, I had the Postal Service came up with this technology that could be used, kind of like a Bitcoin type of technology that could be used for voting. And I ran it by two of the foremost experts in the world in data gathering, surveillance type of situations, Kirk Wiebe and Bill Binney. And they both said, they looked at what the technology that the United States Postal Service was saying, well, that we think that this could be used. And at the time, Pelosi and Schumer were making this big deal out about it. So was Biden and Harris. And Bill and Kirk looked at it and said, oh, this thinking, you can get around this thing in a second.
That's the problem.
Right. So it's interesting. Right after they put their pronouncement about this, you can get around this, all of a sudden, I haven't heard Pelosi, Schumer, any of the deep state dweebs speaking about this, because they were all starting to embrace it. And then once Bill and Kirk came out and said, no, you can get around this in, you know, a couple easy steps, all of a sudden that's gone by the wayside. I think the key is identifying where the issues are, because we can't change the whole system as it is, right? But identifying and targeting each one of these potential fraudulent outlets and casting light on them.
Yes.
Shining a light on them. I also think a couple things is that your listeners, our my listeners here, those that support our platforms, playing a more active role in the election. You know, they're looking for people to be poll watchers. They're looking for people to work the polls. People are very busy. I understand that. But an option, if folks have the time available, is contact in their community about polling, if they can be a poll watcher, if they can work at the polls, because having honest people on the inside, and when they notice irregularities, to have a number where they can immediately call to get the light of day shown on what's happening.
I'm not sure if that's going to be enough with some of these methods, because for like bribing the homeless shelters, I mean, I suppose you could go and you could police the homeless shelters, but as long as they spread out the mail-in ballots through, that's what he was saying. There's ways to get around this too, where you don't bring attention to it, because you mail them in all different boxes around the city, things like that, and. So I think there's ways to get around, but I 100% agree with you. I've talked to Kirk Wiebe and Bill Binney about this, and we talked a lot about how to shore it up in the future. And it's by checking every step, but they're just trying to totally change the system here. This is a whole new deal going to these paper ballots and what are going to this mail-in ballots. Everyone I talk to is like, you want to just do paper ballots and then you want to test it every step of the way. And Kirk and Bill Binney have an amazing way to solve it. It's just nobody will allow them to do it. So there's a lot of politics behind it because they don't want to get rid of the cheating.
Very true.
But you're right. The best method to at least minimize it as much as we can is to do what I just did and do what you just said and bring light on it and do the best we can to at least monitor it.
And right? I encourage, and Catherine Engelbrecht does a great job on voter regularity and irregularity. I believe her website is truethevote.com. Sarah, how can folks follow you in our last minute? How can they get more information and view your great content?
Well, first, I want to repeat what you just said. Go to her site, because that's what we need to do if we want to have a safe election. Because number one, we don't want a safe election. If we don't want this chaos in the streets, we really need to be watching over this. But go to sarahwestall.com. You'll find everything there. Please sign up for my newsletter. I do not want me and Dave or anybody else to get buried in all this censorship. Just like I said, go to Dave's site and sign up for his stuff too. You don't know when who's going to be shut down. So thank you so much for having
me. Sarah, thank you for having the courage to take on the deep state 24/7, because you do. You drive them insane, and that helps every freedom-loving American. And I thank you.